calendar announcements that you'll find in your bulletin about things that are upcoming in the life of the church. And particularly, we want to say a special thanks to all those who helped at Camp Street this week, or those who were part of the overflow crowd of so many helpers that attempted to help at Camp Street this week. We're grateful that 400 some boxes went out to the community to help those in need through this season. This morning you will find on the back table in the Hope Room Advent devotional booklets for your use through this season. That's a resource that is made possible through Presbyterian Survey, and we encourage you to use it. They're very family-friendly resources that encourage us to journal and make collages and draw and all kinds of activities for every day during Advent. Next Sunday, I believe, and I'll get a nod from our one of our newest parents groups, we will begin alternative giving. A big nod from Echo and Brendan over there, which is an opportunity to support missions in around the world and locally in lieu of a more traditional giving of Christmas presents. And you have lots of information about that next week as we begin the 3 weeks of that alternative giving gift market. Let's see. I think everyone else is giving the other announcements. So are there any other announcements? Okay, Julie.
It's
so that next Sunday or next Saturday, 10 o'clock, here in the sanctuary in the Hope Room, the decorating for the season. Other announcements? Yes, Lisa. That's the 20s and 30s gathering on Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Yes. Okay. Other announcements this morning. Okay. Then I'll call forward the Ajimang family for the lighting of the Advent candle.
On the first Sunday at Advent, we bear witness to the light of Christ with all faithful of every time and place. With Isaiah and Jeremiah, prophets of Israel, we await the promised salvation of the Lord and look for the coming of the one who will bring the justice and righteousness to earth.
The word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. Hallelujah.
Come, let us worship God. Thank you.
In this Advent season of waiting on the Lord, we trust the Lord's goodness. We rely on God's mercy. We find shelter in God's steadfast love and righteousness. Come, let us seeking God in prayer, first in silence, and then as we pray together. Let us pray. Continuing in prayer. O promised Christ, we are a world at war. Our peace depends on your coming. We are a sinful people. Our pardon depends on your coming. We are full of good intentions, but weak at keeping promises. Our only hope of doing God's will is that you should come and help us do it. Lord Christ, Word made flesh, our world waits for your peace, for your pardon, and for your grace. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, Give Thanks, which will be projected, and you may also see it in your hymnals, the small hymnals. Of our Lord are from everlasting to everlasting. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Amen. Thank you to the chancel choir. This is the time in our worship service where we take a few moments to share together from our lives the things that we are seeking prayer for ourselves, for those people we care about, joys and concerns. One that we'd like to share with you, especially this morning, is Marilyn Bennion, continuing in prayer for her, who just lost Stan so recently. Her grandson was found dead this week on Tuesday. Very suddenly, and so we're praying for her and her whole family as they deal with a double grief and mourn this day, praying for Marilyn. Other prayers that you'd like to lift up today? Jenny. Great. Thank you. We're praying for Grace Kim on her way to New York. She's been part of our congregation for how many years? 2 years now. And so blessings as you go. If you want to say goodbye to Grace or see her, she'll be here at the coffee hour till the very end. Right? All right. There you go. Other prayers today? Prayers. Let's see. Judy.
I have several.
Several. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't get to bed until 4:30 this morning because Walter's sister Edith went to the emergency room with the bleeding nose again. She's got an inherited condition. This is the third time in 3 weeks. The other thing is Walter is still recuperating from breaking 5 ribs. And the last thing is my niece, Michelle, and her husband, David. David has just lost his third sibling in 6 months. So they have a lot of grief they're carrying on.
Okay. Thanks, Judy. We're lifting up niece Michelle and her husband David, who's lost 3 siblings. Also for Walter, continued healing on these ribs, and Edith, his sister, back in the hospital, praying for Judy and her family this day. Yeah, Suzanne.
I have a great joy. Anybody who was here last Sunday knows what I'm talking about, the tremendous, innovative sermon and our Beatles song, and I was just totally overwhelmed by what a wonderful experience it was. So I thank you for your continued ideas and pray for everyone who has to act on whatever you come up with.
Thanks, Suzanne. Thank you to especially the musicians from last week, the singers who helped us pull that one off. Pray for the fun of being together. Kathy Cooper, yes, I'll come around to you.
Mike. I would love continued prayers for my grandma who fell a couple months ago. She still has short-term memory confusion from the concussion and has not been able to go back home, and so I'd love prayers for healing for her. And then the second thing is I work with graduate students in campus ministry at Brown, and I oversee graduate student ministry in New England, and hired someone to begin working with graduate students starting in the summer. And this next month is an important time to make a decision about where he's going to work. And he's either going to start working with graduate students at Yale or join me at Brown and develop the work in Rhode Island. So I would love prayers for this decision because it it's an important one for me and for graduate students.
Thanks. Continue to pray for Kathy and her ministry with grad students, and also this decision about where to place this person, as well as for your grandmother recovering from this fall. Thanks. Yeah, Jeff.
I have two joys today. We have visitors here, my parents, John and Carolyn Weaver, members of College Hill Presbyterian Church in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. So we've been with them all weekend for the Thanksgiving holiday, so we're happy they're here. And we also have another joy. We got some great news on Wednesday about the health of our newborn due in April, and we're very excited about that news, and a lot of people here were praying for us, and we really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. A double whammy of good news here. Great to see you guys again, the Weaver parents here, and the health of your soon-to-be baby. That's great news, Jess and Jeff. Other prayers. Jenny.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Jenny. This group of folks from our church, who led by Pastor Chris, who was with the Tumaini Kenyan Fellowship in Springfield, Mass., a great time from what we heard. In fact, if you are interested in singing Kenyan music, you might have a chance later today. So hold tight. We'll see. Other prayers today. Other prayers. On, speaking of which, here we go.
Morning, everyone. I asked for prayers for my exam tomorrow. And then I might not be here next Sunday, but after that I'm proceeding to Kenya to do my project until May.
Okay.
So prayers for that.
So this is your last Sunday for now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Next week is your last week, right? Yeah, but I might
go to
see my mom.
So Ann is on her way. She's got some exams to finish up this week, and then on her way back to Kenya to do some more research. So if you want to say goodbye to Ann, she'll be back, but you want to say goodbye for a while. Today's your day. She'll be here till the end with grace. Right. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, Joy is my sister, Maridel. It's here from Minneapolis. She's got a pink sweater on. I think it's the only pink sweater.
Yeah.
So if you would welcome her, please.
Great. Maridel, welcome here from Minneapolis. Great. You can see her at coffee hour as well. Wonderful having you with us today. Other prayers today. We continue praying with Joy for Julie and her brother Jim down in Pennsylvania, continuing to recover. Okay.
Those prayers were coming fast at the end there. All my categories. Let us pray. Oh God, you are the light of the world, coming again into this world this season. We watch, we wait, expectantly with gratitude for your gifts of life and love, for the comfort of community, for the challenge of discipleship. Be with us in this hour as we bring the prayers of this community and our world to you. We pray, O Lord, for those in need of your healing presence. For Rebecca and Stephanie as they continue to recover in the Spader family, for Edith and Walter, for Kathy's grandmother. We give thanks for signs of your healing and in the power of prayer in Jim as he continues to walk this journey, and for Julie's presence with him and then now with us. And for Jess and Jeff, as they rejoice in the news of the health of their baby to be born in April. We give thanks, O Lord, for the miracles of life and the power that we have to live each day to the fullest. We pray, O God, for hope for those who walk in grief in this season. May your blessings shine forth upon them in encouraging, unexpected ways, to guide them through these times. We lift up Michelle and David in the loss of their third sibling, and all of the families in this church that are grieving in this season. For Marilyn, in the loss of Danny this week and in his funeral service on Thursday. We give thanks, O God, for the blessing of taking time for giving thanks, for the gifts that you have given, for the anticipation of new life and opportunities, for gathering with family and friends. We pray, O Lord, for Kathy as she discerns new grad ministry opportunities and placements. And we pray for the continued ministry that reaches out to bring people to faith. We give thanks for visitors in our midst, for John and Carol with Jess and Jeff, for Marielle, for all who are here in this day, visiting with us in this congregation and visiting with family. Make us, O Lord, mindful also of the world outside these doors, even as we pray for our community, for the need for peace around our world. We pray for those who serve our country in the military, in the Peace Corps, in VISTA, and AmeriCorps. For all those who are far from home during holiday times. We pray, O Lord, for those who are moving back to home and to new opportunities for Ann tomorrow as she defends her project proposal. For Grace as she moves in new directions into New York City. Lord, you have blessed us with their presence with us, and we continue to hold them dear in our fellowship here, even as Grace moves on to other opportunities and Ann moves back to Kenya to reunite with her family for a few months. We pray, O Lord, for those who are struggling still to find work or homes as the winter months loom. Give them hope and help us to see and reach out in ways that encourage and lead to life. We pray, O Lord, for all those who would seek and find a home with you in this season, who would focus on that which is most important and allow the other details to slip away. We give thanks, O God, for our connection to the larger church, to folks visiting near and far from many denominations, from our own denomination, and for our connection to Tamiani as they continue to grow in ministry and witness in the Springfield area. We give thanks for our partnership there and for the people here who embrace that partnership and seek to live with them. Guide us, O Lord, to be witnesses always to your light and love, near and far, as together we pray the prayer of our Lord, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite all the children in the congregation to come on down. Come forward here in the front. Come on up, you guys. You can find a spot right here on the floor, on the bench. Come on down. I see you, Sophie. Good, good, good. Come on down. Aiden, ready? Okay, you can find a spot. Here we go, here we go. Yeah. Ooh, what happened to you?
I broke my little pinky.
That's a big cast for the pinky toe. All right, you want to get a seat right there? Josie, we make room for him? Okay. Well, well, well. Good morning, you guys. Great to see you. We have up in front here this morning, we have something different than we usually have. What is it? What do you think? Yeah, what is Eden? The Advent wreath, that's right. And what? Tell me about the Advent wreath. What has it got going? What's on it? Nathan? Candles. Candles? What colors are the candles? Yeah. Purple, white, and pink. Yeah? So it's a pretty cool thing. But these candles, this is, I was thinking about that. Yeah, Josie?
Light all of the candle colors.
You do? Yeah, I like the candle colors too. They're really pretty. And one of the things that we're thinking about candles, why would you use a candle? Why, if you're at your house or something, why would you ever use a candle? Yeah? So you can pray? Hey, okay, you can use the candle to help you pray? That's good. What do you think, Nathan? To see, well, I can see. Why would we, what's wrong? Oh, see in the dark. Ah, that's right. You know, these days we use electricity, right? You walk in and flip the switch and the light comes on in your room or in your house. But a long time ago, before they had the electricity, all they had were candles to give them light when it was dark. So if someone came to their house, they wouldn't turn on the light switch, they'd light the candles so they could see because it was so dark in their house and they wanted to see. And at Christmas time, which is coming up, we're thinking about how Jesus is coming into the world again. Jesus is being born. Jesus is kind of like a candlelight. Sometimes it's really dark and we can't see the things very clearly. Sometimes our world isn't quite how it should be and things don't seem fair, or they don't seem good. And we hope that Jesus will come like a light into some darkness and help us see things a little bit clearly and see how we are part of what God is doing in the world, how even you guys are. So I'm going to say a prayer and send you downstairs as we think about this beginning of Advent time. Okay? Let's pray. God, thank you for being the light of the world. We pray that you'll help us to see you clearly and to see all the people that you put in our lives. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Children through fifth grade can go downstairs to their classes. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Good morning. Today's Old Testament passage is found in Jeremiah 33, verses 14 through 16, in the Pew Bible, page 694, and the Large Print Bible, page 903. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The New Testament passage is found in Luke 21, verses 29 through 33, in your Pew Bible, page 80, and in the Large Print Bible, page 104. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lift up your head, you mighty.
Well, good morning, and happy Thanksgiving to you all. It's great to see you here on this first Sunday of Advent, and this Thanksgiving weekend Sunday, and this pledge dedication Sunday. Your pledge cards are right here. I hope you have them with you today. We'll see those a little bit later. I hope you've had some time over these past few days to get together with family or with friends to celebrate together and to meditate on the blessings that God has put into your life in big ways or small. We all have things to give thanks for, don't we? In fact, the turkey may be gone, but Thanksgiving isn't over. I wonder if you'll take just a moment and turn to someone next to you and share, what are you giving thanks for this day? What are you thankful for this year? Please share. Okay. So you're thankful? Thankful, okay. Well, today is the first Sunday in the season of the church calendar called Advent. And Advent is a time when we wait expectantly for the Christ child to be born into the world on Christmas. And for the next four Sundays, and then on Christmas Eve, we'll be following the lectionary texts. These are a series of readings that will bring us through the whole story, from the shepherds to the angels, from the prophets to Mary and Joseph, all the way to the Christ child himself, the anointed one of Israel, the one whom we wait for with anticipation and joy. So as we listen together in this day for God's word to us in this season of church life, and also in the season of each of our lives, will you join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. I heard a story recently about two men who were stranded on a desert island. I'm wondering if you've heard about this. One of them was running around nearly hysterical, waving his arms, saying, "We're going to die! We're going to die!" The other took a nap underneath a palm tree, calm as can be. "What do you think you're doing?" the first man said to the other. "Don't you know that we're in mortal danger? We're going to starve, and no one is going to find us before we both die out here." The calm man answered, "Well, I'm not worried about that for three reasons. First, I make $500,000 a year." "What?" screamed his partner. "Do you think that's going to make any difference out here?" "Well, second," the calm man said, "I tithe one-tenth of my income to my church." The first man threw up his hands. "What does that have to do with anything? We still don't have anyone coming to help us." "Well, third," said the calm man, "it's stewardship season, and I figure my pastor will come looking for me anytime now." This is our hope. This is our hope as we enter the season of Advent, that someone is coming for us. Someone is coming for us. Someone who cares for us, whether we make a large salary or small, whether we're worried or whether we're pacific and calm. The good news and the great news of the Advent season is that God is coming to us once again. This is Advent. The word Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, which means coming or arriving. And as in the baby Jesus who arrives or comes on Christmas Day. And there's also a double meaning to Advent, which we hear a little bit in our scripture today, because at this time we're also reminded of the promise of Christ's second coming or second Advent. So we have both joy for what has been and also hope for what will be. There's the already and the not yet. Christ has come. Christ will come again. This passage that we're looking at today is part of, from Luke, is part of what Bible scholars call the little apocalypse. The little apocalypse. It's a little future peek that Jesus gives us into what's going to happen. But this word apocalypse, which we usually use to mean something like the end of the world, really comes from a Greek word that means lifting the veil or revealing something that was hidden. So in Jesus' little apocalypse, where he's talking about the signs and seasons, he is lifting the veil a little bit about how to know that God is at work, that God's kingdom is coming. That's what Jesus is doing in this passage, saying that the activity of God is like the summer. There are ways to see it and experience it, ways to tell that it's happening. So in Advent, God is revealing something that was hidden. Jesus says it's like a fig tree, which when it begins to bloom and blossom, everyone who sees it knows that the summer is on its way. He says that's how it is with the kingdom of God. There are, when you start to see the signs that point to something that's happening, you'll know God's up to something extra special. I think that's what Advent is kind of like. It's a little peek into this God who is both hidden and revealed. In his book, Struggling with Scripture, Bible scholar Walter Brueggemann says that when we listen to the gospel story as told in the Bible, God is always beyond us in holy hiddenness. God is always beyond us in holy hiddenness. We can never know all there is to know about God. God's thoughts or power or love, they're too much for us to comprehend. And yet, at Advent and Christmas, something that has been hidden is being revealed. Something that is being that was closed is being opened. Something is being shown to us in a way that it never has before. Jesus, of course, has already been made known to us. He was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. You might have heard the story. But at the same time, Jesus is not yet fully clear to any one of us, because there is more to knowing, loving, and serving Christ that God would have us come to know. Let me give you a picture of what I'm getting at. You may have seen it before. It's a painting by a Belgian surrealist named René Magritte. Have you seen this before? It's called The Son of Man. The Son of Man. Take a look. It's from 1964. Here in the painting is this well-dressed man in a suit and a bowler hat standing by the sea. He's standing there in front of you just as clear as day. He's revealed to you. He's made known to you. But not yet fully known, is he? He's got this strange floating apple thing in front of his face. Not sure what that's about. Peeking around, you can see his eyes. He wants to be seen. He's seeing you, but not quite. If I were to ask you, you could probably describe the man in this painting pretty well. His gray suit, his red tie, his bowler hat, his ears, his chin, even the way one of his elbows seems to be backwards. Did you notice that? You could tell me everything about him that has been made known to you, that you have seen so far. But the truth is, there's more to him that you have not yet seen. That's how it is with Advent and Christmas. That's the reason that we wait and we watch. Because all the signs point to something greater than ourselves that's at work in this time, in this season. And if we heed Jesus' words to be alert and pay attention, we might just find out some more of the story. We might find out more than we've already tasted, touched, or experienced. Now, when Jesus would teach back in his day, he used images that people in his time could immediately identify with. Things like a farmer's field, a wedding banquet, a weather patterns, birds, ocean tides, a fig tree. These were easily understandable to the people who heard him. They could relate these images to their real lives. So, following Jesus' lead, I want to introduce you today to a very holy, very special, very new Advent symbol. It's my 1993 blue Buick, and it's parked out front. Have you seen it? It's a 93 blue Buick. I want to tell you about it. It's a thing of beauty. It's low to the ground, so it has a smooth ride. It's got power locks, power steering, power windows. When I drive it, I have the power of the road at my fingertips. And for a car that's 16 years old, that Buick is in great shape. It was a bit of a shock to me, in fact, a few months ago when people started suggesting that I take advantage of the Cash for Clunkers program. Clunker? Try Classic. It's a beauty. Oh, I didn't appreciate that very much, but I wonder if you can appreciate the idea of a car as a symbol for Advent. Think about Advent as if you were driving your car, and you come to a red light. What does that mean? Stop. And then the light turns green. What does that mean? And then you're going along and you come to a yellow light. We all know what that means. Speed up! That's right. You wouldn't get very far if you were driving in your car if you didn't pay attention to the signs that were all around you, right? When you're driving, you're constantly reading the signs. Not only outside the car, but also inside. The gas tank that's on empty, the check engine light that keeps blinking, and you don't know how to get it to turn off. These things are signs that are telling you there's something coming up that you need to pay attention to. Something's going to happen, and if you don't get with it, you might miss it. You might be in trouble. You might be on the side of the road. I wonder if there are signs in your life in some way that are telling you that you've got something coming up that you need to be paying attention to. What might those signs look like for you as you enter the Advent season? And will you take the time to pay attention? Maybe that sign is something like the bite of an old pain that comes up again this year every time. I wonder if God's seeking to heal that wound in you. Or maybe it's the spark of a new relationship that has you excited and you're wondering, where is God in this? Or maybe it's the tug of simplicity or generosity that you're feeling in this season. And you're feeling, and you're asking, is God showing me something about how I live my life or how I spend my money? Maybe it's the advent of a new child in your family. And you're wondering, how will this change our family life? How will we keep God at the center? Maybe it's the sting of fresh grief. It comes up in unexpected ways. How is God with you even in those darkest days? Maybe it's even just being affected more than you expected by a piece on the news about people in need across the world or across town. You could let it go. You could brush it off. You could ignore the signs. Or you could pay attention. And you could ask God, what does this mean? What does this mean? All this talk about Advent and reading the signs and fig trees, what does this mean? Let's get down to the brass tacks, the bottom line, what NPR would call the takeaway, what preachers call the so what moment. So what? So what's the point of all this? Well, here is Jesus' message to you this morning. Pay attention to your life. Simply put, pay attention to your life. Signs of God's power and presence and purpose for you are all around, waiting to be seen, to be understood, to be acted upon. And my prayer for you and me in this Advent season is that we would open ourselves to the ways that God is at work in this big old world of ours, and even in these little lives of ours. That seeing the hints and indications of what God is doing in the world, that you and I, being open to this spirit and this movement, might also find our part to play. Do you have a part to play? How will you know? Read the signs. Amen. Give up.
Please stand and join me in the affirmation of faith. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being through Him was light, and the light was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh, and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Amen. Thank you. We're in for a treat this morning here in our offering time. As you know, we've been talking about stewardship in these past weeks. And this entire month, we've been talking about how our faith and finances come together. And this day, we are inviting everyone to bring forward your tithes, your offerings, your pledge cards for the year. This is the time we'll collect them all. Whatever you have that you'd like to bring, we're going to bring to you back today. And we're going to be led by this great group singing We Are Marching in English, and also something in Swahili. How does this thing go? How does this song go?
The song is We Are Marching, and I'll first read the words in Swahili. And the words go like, Natembea mwangazani, natembea katika mwangaza, natembea mwangazani, natembea katika mwangaza. Meaning we are marching in the light of God.
All right. Got that? No. We're going to come forward the way that we do the meaning by invited to stand as we sing, and just come right forward, put your offering and pledge card here, and circle back around to your feet. Let's keep singing as we follow our leader. We stand.
We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God.
Let us pray. Oh God, we are marching in your light this day. We give you thanks for the many blessings in our lives, the ways that you walk with us and show us your way.
We pray over these gifts and offerings, these tithes and pledges for the year to come. May they go toward furthering your work and your kingdom. Yes, Lord Jesus, come to us, and as we walk together, may we work for justice, peace, to share the gospel, the good news of your love for the world and for each one. All these things we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Prayer of dedication, so we're moving to the final hymn. Walk in the light of God. It's okay. Our final hymn is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, led by our group right here. It's projected in front. It's also number 2 in your hymn. Now go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all persons. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of His Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Okay.